Good to be back. And loud. Let's pray. Satan has tried so often to just crumple this sermon. And yesterday we heard that my brother-in-law has had a massive heart attack, had to be flown up from Preveley. Haven't heard any more news. But God is good. And so, Lord, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall on us. I pray that you show to each one the thing that we, each one of us, has to learn from you. I thank you for your word. It is the rock. We stand on the word of the living God. And I pray for your kingdom to come and your will be done in each of us. Amen. It is an amazing, whoops, we're not quite, and I have turned it on obediently. I suppose on is on. Try it again. I'll try off. I might have had it on. No, on, O-N meant on. Ah, look at that. But that was probably him. Okay, try it again, you reckon? Oh, yes. As I said, Satan has tried to mangle this, but we all win. Daniel chapter 3. And it ties in so much with the weekly events in Western Australia, doesn't it? You'll see it if you can't already see it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Remember last week, beginning of chapter 3, how they were commanded to bow before the image and they refused? Bad things happen to good people. Jesus is the prime example. The Son of God is crucified. Nevertheless, these three men refused to compromise. They had already suffered so much, but they were determined that every day, every second, they would stand firm for God. They saw past the physical to the spiritual. The physical meant a painful, probably fairly quick death in the furnace. The spiritual meant that they had to trust God to bring something good out of their stand, even if he chose not to deliver them. For our God is a God who can work all things for good. And so we have Romans 8 there. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but they could. When we surrender our lives to God, we are made alive by his Holy Spirit so that we can see things which are spiritual. The three friends make no attempt to defend their stand. It would have been expected for them to lie or make an excuse or claim a legality, but they don't do that. That would have surprised Nebuchadnezzar and the others who expected them to compromise. Now the pressure's on, compromise. They blatantly declare faith in the power of God to deliver them. This was especially courageous as they were witnesses to the devastating defeat in Israel, probable emasculation, the death of fellow Jews, especially friends and family. God had not delivered them from these trials. They would have prayed, Lord, please deliver Jerusalem from the Babylonians, even though I know we've gone wrong. Please save my parents. Please don't let my sister or girlfriend get raped. Please prevent me from becoming a eunuch. But the bedrock foundation, thy kingdom come, was what they built their lives on. They may have had difficulty understanding the mind and the will of God, despite knowing how Israel had compromised with evil. And right through the prophets, Isaiah through to Malachi, you will see the compromise, 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 and the mercy of God. When mercy, more mercy brings more evil, judgment has to fall. That was the rule in the classroom and a rule for parents. They stand on the rock that God knows best, and it is His will that matters. They didn't presume to know the purposes of God, but they were determined that it was their target. Even though they could not know the future, they knew they must not worship the image of the beast. So many believers today would compromise and say, look, we don't want to upset the community. Let's worship their gods, but we can still secretly be Christians when the doors are shut. Political compromise is very tempting. Faith does not conform to the world's values or practices. And it says in Daniel, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. See, the heart of these three people, these three men, was clear. We will not worship the image. There is a danger that we allow loving people to smother the fear of God. How easy it would have been to decide that they must not offend the community. But we know that the heart of God is like a rope with three strands. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising 1, loving kindness, 2, judgment, 3, righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. When we fear God, we cannot ignore judgment. If you read the scriptures, you will see that it is never ignored. Right from the 10 plagues of Egypt, right through to Revelation. The world hates the reality of hell. They hate Christians because of hell. They cling on to the hope that after death they'll go to a peaceful place and play golf or have a party. 1 John, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh boy, and we are Christians meeting together, and we know the lust of the flesh. We know the lust of the eyes, and we know the pride of life, the things that we have achieved. Those things are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It is not those who love the world who abide forever. It is only those who do the will of the Father. Only those who do the will. Thy will be done. Their testimony is blatant. Even though they were young men and Jews and in the presence of the most powerful man alive, they wanted the king to understand their decision. This is amazing, people. This is amazing. These are three guys captured from Jerusalem. Three guys being through the training camp and all of that. Three guys before the most powerful man in the world. And they say, I want you to know and understand this. Let it be known, they say. Let it be known to you, O king. Let it be known. Some may have thought these were going to be their final words, but they needed to plant seeds, and people, we need to plant seeds. It might be just one word. It might be just a look. It might be just a tear. It might be just $1, but you need to plant seeds, and when Jesus talked about seeds, these are tiny things that grow into huge trees. But you drop the seed, you drop the God word, you drop the God look into the conversation. You need to plant seeds. And after you've planted one, it's easier to plant two. And after you've planted two, it's easier to do a whole bed. Plant the seeds. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. You know, when pride is challenged, anger erupts. By pride comes nothing but strife, and with the well-advised is wisdom. Sadly, it's the men of valor who had served Nebuchadnezzar loyally who were consumed. The only opinion which counts is God's opinion of us. John 5 is a correction of our thinking, isn't it? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor who comes from the only God? How can you believe? How can you have faith when what you want is the honor which comes from one another and you don't seek the honor which comes from God? It is only God's opinion which matters. What does the Father think about what you are doing, what you are saying, what you are being? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, he says in Isaiah. Their righteousness is from me, not from anybody else, not from your credentials, not from your career, not from your studies, not from your position, not from your family, not from your wealth. Their righteousness is from me. And Jesus says to the people, How can you believe that you get honor from people when you don't seek the honor which comes from God? We want to be able to kneel and come before the Father and want His grace and His compliment. We want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. That's the one thing we want. I wrote that song which I sang wages back, which came out of the Olympics. When one Olympian was asked, you know, did you have to give up much to become an Olympian? And she said, no, I didn't have to give up my dreams because my dream was to become an Olympian. We don't have to give up our dreams to stand before Jesus today, but my dream is to stand in the presence of God and to hear my Father say, well done, my faithful one. That's my dream. That's it. That's it. To have the honor which comes from Him. My dream is to stand before the Father and hear Him say, well done. Ah, gosh. Daniel 3. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The fire was so hot, it killed the mighty men of valor. The heroes of the land died. The mighty men, not the insipid men, the mighty men of valor died just from getting close. Neb would have thought that these guys were expendable. God didn't spare these guards either. He had a higher purpose. We need to accept the fact that we cannot always see the big picture. I thought, you know, how far can you throw a body? Okay, it's a new Olympics event we could have, you know, at Darlington. How far can you throw a body? You know, it would have taken 4 guards, one on each limb. But I thought 4 meters or 5 meters would be about the furthest, I would think. You know, throwing a body. These were grown men, so they weren't little Liliana's size, though she might be able to do 6 meters. Yeah, but there you go. You know, so the fire was that hot that they got from here to there and they burnt, just getting that close. God did not deliver them from the furnace. They fell down bound into the midst of the burning furnace. Many believers have been burnt at the stake, and they would have thought that they had prayed their final prayer. Maybe they saw the guards drop. In the midst of our furnaces, we feel that life is hopeless. We've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing changed. Way back, I was trying to think, I think it's nearly 60 years ago, my little athletics coach, or my big athletics coach, I was the little boy, said the words of Percy Serity, who was the coach of Herb Elliott. And it's kind of engraved it in my brain, to train without pain is to train without gain. So Bobby, that's what they called me at school, just run hard. So Bobby, yes. But it's true, there it is in 1 Peter as well. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How strong is my faith when it demands sacrifice? It is the tested faith, the walk with trials, that brings praise, honor, and glory to God. The comfortable faith is so easy, but it is the tested faith that brings praise, honor, and glory. The test in the middle, when they are being picked up by the men of valor, thrown. When they're praying and praying and praying and nothing is being answered and they're praying and they're thrown into the furnace, it is the tested faith. Wow. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." You know, the Septuagint, that's the Greek version there, of the hilarious, has this hilarious line. It says, and I haven't misspelt it, that's a quote there, "Nabuchodonosor heard them singing praises." I think when I read that, I laughed. I thought, this is hilarious, because you've got the situation, right? You've got the 3 guys there before the king and the wise men and the satraps and all of that lot there, and they're given a chance to compromise, and everybody's expecting these so-called men of God to compromise. Ah, they'll give in. Yes, the king likes them. Yes, give them a chance. Yes, they'll say, yes, okay, we'll worship the image and to themselves, yeah, okay, but privately we'll worship God, okay, all of that. And what do? They don't compromise. And they saw Neb absolutely furious because he is the most powerful man on the whole earth. How dare you, Naomi? How dare you not compromise? No, 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 how dare you, Gath? How dare you? No, he was furious. So, the men of valor grab them, and these are strong, muscly, mighty guys. And they crumble. But they're thrown into the furnace, and all the time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are praying, "Lord, Lord, we're asking for an answer to the prayer, asking for you to save our lives, asking for you to save our lives. Now would be a good time, Lord. They're just bound us. Now would be a good time. They're taking us into the furnace, Lord. Now would be a really good time. They're picking us up. Now, Lord. Now, Lord, would be a really good time. The guards have fallen. Now would be an excellent time. But no, no, no. And thrown in. Oh, no. That's the end." No. It's not the end. Not the end. How hilarious. "Look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they are not hurt." And then, if the Septuagint is right, these guys are singing praises to the living God. What? Regardless of whether the singing is true, we do know that praise music is a wonderful relief from pain. You know, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they too experienced the power and the presence of God in music. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Faith remains committed despite the circumstances. Neb had an orchestra, but the three men in the furnace knew the presence of God right there. Wow. God says to you, I will never, ever leave you. I chose you and love you forever. You know, even at the stoning of Stephen, at the death, at the point of dying, at the line where you cross over from flesh to glory, and he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Wow! People, that is the hope that we have as believers, that that line there in the flesh goes to absolute glory. We're unaware if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that Jesus or an angel was with them. We're often completely unaware of the presence of God. There are several different furnaces we experience in life. There's the furnace of the flesh, like lust, covetousness, sloth, finances. Then there's furnaces of stress, where we just want out. We just want another life. There's the furnace of loss, close friends or family being sick or dying. Losing the security of savings and possessions is hard. In these furnaces, we are often overcome by the loneliness that we can't even share our loss with people. We miss the presence of Jesus so easily, but God says to us, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. People, if you're in the furnace, grab that verse, underline it, eat it, put it in your table, put it on your mirror, put it there. You are my servant. I have chosen you. I have chosen you, says the living God. I have chosen you, and I haven't cast you away. Neb sees the fourth man. The power of the fire was totally in the control of God. It was strong enough to burn the mighty men of valor. It was strong enough to burn the ropes, but nothing else was touched. It was absolutely under the control of God so they could walk and enjoy the presence and the protection of God as if they were on a beach in heaven. Do you get it? Totally in control. So only the ropes burned, not the hands, and they could walk. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Man, oh man, is that power? I burn the ropes, but no smell on you. I burn the ropes so you can walk around and you can sing and praise me. I burn the ropes. Yes, the mighty men of valor are dead. Yeah, because they came within 6 meters or whatever. That is power. That is power. Neb recognizes that these men are the servants of the Most High God. He saw that the most dreadful terror of his furnace that had devoured the mighty men of valor was powerless. The fire had no power. You know, we pray this, Matthew 6, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Grab that in your guts. For yours is the kingdom and the power. We have so many laws of science. Yes, yes, gravity, yes, 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 yes. but yours is the power. He saw that the most dreadful terror of this furnace was powerless. You know, when I was a schoolboy at Christchurch, I prayed that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, 100 times, over and over, and never understood. We attribute power to so many things: reputation, career, position, credentials, wealth, experience. They're all powerful. But the power of God is supreme. It is absolute greatness, even over gravity, even over fire. When we first face the furnaces of life, we must not fear death. On the other side of life is glory. You have 1 Corinthians there. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? There isn't anything. And the other side of the line is glory. But God may choose to let us live on and serve him. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Even the smell of the fire was not on them. This is absolute victory. Neb came close to talk to them, so he would have smelt like fire. But their hair and garments were not burnt, just the rope was burnt off. Our God is a winner, an absolute, all-powerful winner. All the laws of science and nature are subservient to him. He created them. One day, the world will be commanded to worship the image of the beast. Revelation 13, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. You know, the church has been given the story of these three men so that we will be strong. 2,000 years ago, television was unthought of. But now we can understand how the image of the beast can be seen and heard across the whole world. 2,000 years ago, it was ridiculous. The whole world. Wikipedia reported in 2019. By 2020, the number of surveillance cameras in mainland China is expected to be 626 million. So that's one for every two people. Are you expecting to be spied on? The fifth seal in Revelation 6:9 is the cry of the martyrs, and the Center for the Study of Global Christianity puts annual death of Christians at approximately 90,000 martyrs a year. Open Doors reports 245 million Christians are being persecuted annually, just in the top 50 World Watch List countries. 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experience high levels of persecution. The seals of Revelation 6 may well be opened. I don't know. A parallel passage in Matthew 24. I sent to you in the homework there so you can see. Revelation 6, Matthew 24. Interesting. When Jesus teaches about end times, Western Christians who prefer an escapist interpretation ignore the start of Matthew 24:29, which goes on to tell us about the rapture. And it says this: immediately after the tribulation of those days, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. You know, we sometimes in Western countries prefer to think that the tribulation, that people aren't suffering, that Christians aren't suffering. You need to Google Barnabas Fund. You need to Google Open Doors. You need to see how Christians are being raped, killed, imprisoned, just for saying they're a Christian. You need to see how Christians refuse to accept the mark of the beast, refuse to bow before the image that Nebuchadnezzar put up. These are men of God. How prepared are we to die for Jesus? Jesus says in Luke 9, for whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We desperately need to see the big picture. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Neb praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he understands that their God is different from his gods. He sees that these men trusted their God to the extent that they yielded their bodies, different from his experience with his gods. He had witnessed amazing, absolute obedience to God that he once may have seen in Daniel. He is in awe of a God who saves his servants, while he allowed his mighty men of valor to die. So much so that these servants are made to outrank the king of the world. Their will, their prayer is answered. They frustrated the king's word. Neb's heart is seen in his respect of God, and he makes a decree and promotes these guys to become heroes. You know, God requires our absolute allegiance. We must be prepared to sacrifice everything for him. Jesus says this. He says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. There is no middle line. There is no room for compromise. Neb had seen that there is no other God who can deliver like this. We pray for such a faith that is so embedded in the power of God that we win souls for Jesus. This isn't a stance that we can talk ourselves into. It comes only as our relationship deepens by a constant and continual walk with Jesus. I was encouraged as a teenager to have a quiet time with God and begin the day like that. That's good. But no, you need a constant, continual walk with God. Humility, surrender, confession, obedience, service are essential. It is a love affair, a marriage that grows richer every day of our lives. I want us to close with singing the song that I wrote and then the benediction. And I apologize there, the benediction, the key might be too high, but just smash it out. Now, there are people in there are people in New South Wales who are locked in, and I think they want to hear it, okay? So, I know it's a heavy responsibility, Zach, but they're wanting to hear it, right? Okay, so we belt it out. We come before the living God, and we pray, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. You know, we just did a sermon on these guys being thrown into the furnace, the rope being burned off, and they didn't have the smell of fire. A miracle. Amazing. But cop this one. I have the blessing of being presented faultless. And you have that before the presence of his glory. I mean, how big is that? Faultless. Not the tiniest, crummy little fault. Faultless before the presence of his glory. If you don't sing loud, then fall on your knees and cry. But this, faultless, yeah. Let's stand and sing. And so you've got it. Oh, and a reminder on the last line there where you say God chose you and loves you forever, you've got to name a person. Colin, you come to mind. I'm naming you. Colin, God chose you and loves you forever, right? So, you've got, who hasn't got a name? Everybody's got a name? Yes? Naomi, what's the name? Him? Rob. Good. Doubt me, my servant, that your ways are hidden from my eyes. I never faint or grow weary, so stand strong against all those lies. The best of all your plans may crumble, but I give strength to the weak. Though despite your prayers you stumble, oh, my will is the target to see. Though it is hard to share your problems, you feel weak and often cast away. Though some tasks may seem impossible, I am always here to stay. You think there's no hand to hold you, but I often forget the help I gave. You're never alone to struggle, oh, for I am always here to say. If though the world tries hard to own you, you are never ever cast away. Though you fear that I have left you, don't lose heart, I am here to stay. And I will never ever leave you. I will never ever leave you. I will never ever leave you. I chose you and love you forever. I chose you and love you forever. Colin? God chose you and loves you forever. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So, Lord God, indeed, to you who are able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, our Lord God, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that was just amazing. But one day, to stand in the presence of your glory faultless, that is amazing. The presence of your glory faultless. You are the only wise God, our Savior, and to you be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever. This week, Lord God, I pray for these people here. I pray for these people who you love so much, who you chose and love them forever. Lord, and I pray for a walk with you which crunches the enemy absolutely crunches the enemy. I pray that everything that looks like the furnace will be turned into glory for you, that we will stand in your presence, Lord God, not once or twice, but over and over this week, to know your presence, to know your presence, and that we will bring your kingdom in, into our speech, into our thinking, into our actions, into our tears, into our walk, with friends and with strangers and with family, Lord, that we will bring your presence in. Bring your presence even into the government of this land, Lord. We want you to win. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.